This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 322. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Revenge of the 3D Gimmick Month continues. Calling SOS from Earth 20, Captain Atom, now with more Watchmen, a better set of Titans, a Bigby Massacre, more superhero TV than you can shake a stick at, and the numbers are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, September 21st, 2014. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. The Multiversity, the Society of Superheroes, Conquerors of the Counterworld Number 1. Could you make the title any longer?
That's certainly a mouthful.
That's the official title, by Morrison and Sprouse.
So not only does Morrison have to have a really complicated comic, he has to have a really complicated title.
Yep. So his trippy trip through the multiverse continues. We're on Earth 20, which is a rather pulpy kind of world. There's a lot of Art Deco touches, thanks to Chris Sprouse, of course, best known for Tom Strong.
I thought that looked familiar type artwork.
And there's also a major JSA element going on here. We meet this group of heroes that have been brought together by Doc Fate, and they're known as the Society of Superheroes, or SOS. They include Immortal Man, the Mighty Atom, Green Lantern Abin Sur, and Lady Blackhawk. And their enemy is Vandal Savage and his team from Earth 40, which is like this Earth's version of Earth 3. So it's like the bad guy opposites of these people. Doc Faust, Lady Shiva, Blockbuster, and Count Sinestro. And the two worlds end up intersecting, and they, because this whole concept of the different worlds occupy the same space but have a different vibrational frequency, and as they used to say in the Silver Age,
and every some 100,000 years they can pass through or something.
Right. So this war commences, which apparently happened right after the World War. We don't know if that's World War One, World War Two, some sort of merged version. Vandal sends in his Army of the Dead from Earth 40. We go 5 years later, which I almost think is a parody of Future's End, to say, oh, and now it's 5 years later. The war rages on. Fate saves Atom from the Army of the Dead because their touch means death. Fate knows about the multiverse and Uatan that we met in the last issue. There are various battles between the heroes and villains. Fate has a portal to another world. Green Lantern gives us enough juice so they can go ask for help. Immortal Man, who's the good version of Vandal Savage, kills Vandal Savage.
Which basically is, in the end, what Vandal Savage does, what Vandal Savage wanted to do, which was shed immortal blood in order to raise this god.
Right. And this ancient god statue rises, and the good guys send out an SOS. Next issue will be The Just. And this is all about the super sons and daughters. It looks very much like a parody or a commentary on current pop culture.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know. I know you like this, but I just find it very confusing and doesn't seem to be following anything. I don't know.
Well, that's Grant Morrison for you. I do have to say, I highly recommend going to DC's site. There's an interactive multiversity map. And as Earths are referenced, there's a page on each one. And frankly, you almost need that to at least partially understand what's going on in this comic, because he's not spelling stuff out at all.
You know, I seem to think if I have to do homework to read a comic book, that it's not really worth it.
Well, yeah. Well, let's move on to 3D Gimmick Month as that continues. Future's End Justice League number 1 by Lemire and Doherty. This is the second part that began in the Justice League Dark one-shot. So to bring you up to speed, all the bad guys are in a prison on Mars, Martian Manhunter runs the place, things have gone wrong, and Captain Atom is a bad guy. And speaking of the captain, he's apparently a god now.
He's like Dr. Manhattan.
He is very reminiscent of Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen, which is, of course, what Manhattan is based on, because Watchmen was all based on the Carlton comic book characters, including Captain Atom.
So it's like a full circle
it's
here.
It's a full circle here. So he wants to be released from the force field that's holding them all in, and he's fine if that means everybody has to die for him to get out. We've learned that during the war, he killed millions to save billions. Wildfire arrives, who got the alert to bring in the League. And he's, of course, originally from the Legion of Superheroes, as is Dawnstar. And we learned in the last issue, the Legion of Superheroes came to the current time and somehow got stuck there. We're going to learn more about that in the regular Justice League United title. So the combined Justice League and Justice League United take out the other villains. Captain Atoms decides, well, I'm just going to blow myself up, which will break the force field, and he'll eventually recoalesce into a being again. Equinox attacks, but it's only just to distract Captain Atom, because it's actually John who takes over Cap's mind again, convincing him he's back home and human. So he basically calms down, which was Manhunter's point of being there on the planet, was to keep all these people calm and basically in a trance.
So how does that work now if he's going to stay there again? Isn't Grodd just going to be able to do the same thing again eventually?
You would think so. There's a lot of holes in this story.
Yes. The first one being, why do you take in the magic spacecraft?
So the group asked John to return to Earth, but obviously he's got work to do there. I don't know how they thought he could go back. That's yet another another hole here. Future's End Teen Titans number 1 by Pfeiffer and Smith. I thought this was a very interesting story, mainly because it was a whole new team.
Yes.
Of course, it's hard to show the future of a particular title that was literally just rebooted.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you haven't even established things like, here's they are 5 years in the future. Well, the only way to do that is basically say, well, let's just write some other story that has very little to do with Teen Titans as it is. There's this billionaire kid, think kind of a Zuckerberg kind of guy.
His name was Archimedes Grant. They first referred to him as Mr. Grant, and I thought maybe he was related to Ted Grant.
That was my thought, and then they didn't do anything with that.
Yeah.
So he's constantly partying outside the law. While he's entertaining a senator, he's pitted man against shark for everyone's amusement. In this case, the man is Tempest, who's the Aqua Lad of Earth 2 and more of a merman than a human being. And so this waiter busts out some magic to free him, and it turns out it's Clarion of Earth 2. And I'm wondering, is this the character that's going to get his own title?
Because there was going to be a Clarion book,
title,
right?
Right. And I don't know if this is the Clarion they're referring to.
I kind of liked this one.
I did, too. They're met outside by Kid Flash of Earth 2, a girl, and later Heretic, who's one of the clones of Damian Wayne from the end where Damian Wayne was killed.
Oh.
So it's that character 5 years from now, except it's one of those clones. So they join forces to attack the billionaire again. Turns out his security guard is a robot, but don't use the word robot. She doesn't like it. The battle's on. A waitress attacks the billionaire. I think he needs to screen his employees better because he's now had a waiter and a waitress attack him. There needs to be a better procedure for your help.
Right.
She turns out to be Animal Girl, who apparently is not related to Buddy in any way.
Right.
More like related to Beast Boy.
That's what I thought. Yeah, less the spirit of the red than...
just the ability to change animal shapes. So their next target is the corrupt senator. I would read the hell out of an ongoing Titans title with this team.
Yeah, it was
this was a much
good.
Better title.
Yeah.
Fables number 144 from Vertigo by Willingham and Buckingham. We continue to move toward issue 150, which will be the final issue. Ozma and Beast, both in full superhero mode, go out to stop Bigby, who is still under Mrs. Spratt's control. a lot of the issue is that battle. And what we see is that Ozma and Beast are both killed by Bigby. Again, they're fables, so can they really die? But for the moment, they're both dead and off the board for the true final battle that's coming.
Right.
Snow senses that Bigby is coming for her, and she just wishes up her black armor. Meanwhile, the group of magicians need a new leader, and Bellflower / Totenkinder returns to take over. Plus, another one of these last story stories where they're taking other characters and trying to basically tie up their plot line.
And again, this was probably better than the main story.
Yeah, I think so. In this case, it was the three blind mice. So with the final battle over, they ask Flycatcher to send them home or maybe somewhere else. Like, through double talk, they convince him to send them to a land where there's very comely mice. And the three blind mice are the chosen ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically become the kings of this world. The only problem they have is they can't get their tablets to work, and they should have wished for tech support instead.
Or in addition.
Or in addition.
Yes.
It's only like 4 pages, and it's a very cute story.
It is.
I would really pay for a whole issue of just these 4-page stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a lot of news about comic book movies and TV this past week. First, we have director David Ayer has been chosen for a Suicide Squad movie. We'll see if that actually goes anywhere, because director seems to be one of the first things you do for this in terms of pre-production.
Right.
And it may not go anywhere. However, Fox has set 2016 for a Deadpool movie. This is this character that constantly breaks the fourth wall in the Marvel Universe. It'll be very interesting. There's rumors that Ryan Reynolds will be Deadpool because he's really interested in playing the character, and he made a fan film of him as Deadpool. Yeah, he wants that part, and they think he's going to get it. Over on the TV side, Supergirl gets a series commitment from CBS. That doesn't mean it's a guarantee it's actually going to reach the air, but CBS would pay a very hefty fee if they drop it. It's not unheard of. In fact, this past season, with this season coming up, there were 2 shows, both of which got series commitments and both of which were canceled. There was one about Egypt, and I don't remember the name of it, and there was Emerald City, which was another Oz Once Upon a Time thing,
uh-huh.
Both of which got serious commitments from their networks, and both of which have been already canceled.
Wow.
So it's not a guarantee, but it's better than, well, we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
Somehow, Sandman's Lucifer character got a TV pilot at Fox.
Yeah, that seemed very weird to me.
And of course, we got coming up just in this next week, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back, and Gotham premieres on Monday night. And, of course, Flash, Arrow, and Constantine are on their heels. And we also have iZombie coming up in mid-season. So very soon you will not be able to swing a dead cat without hitting a superhero TV show. The question is, will they kind of burn out the whole concept by doing so many of these?
Right.
Well, the numbers are in for August. I want to thank ComicsBeat.com and Diamond. And this is, of course, based on the top 300 comics coming out. They were very nice enough to provide a differential based on the variants that are coming out. So we have a subset number for how many were actually variants. They referred to them in Comics Beat as Self-Bat, which was the selfie variants and the Batman 75th anniversary variants combined. So the Self-Bat number.
Oh.
So, number one was Batman at 112K. 6,000 of those were Self-Bat. And this was, of course, the first post-zero-year issue. Number four, The Multiversity, 90,000 copies.
I'm really surprised.
And it's a $5 title, so they made a lot of money on it. Number seven and number 13 were Harley Quinn at 71K and 58K. And that had variants of 5K and 13K, respectively. There were 2 issues in the same month because it was a 5-week month. And so that's how that came out. Batman Eternal at number 10, 14, 15, and 16 at 58K, 58K, 57K, and 57K, respectively. Less than 1% attrition per issue, which means they've essentially stabilized, which you'd expect by this point. Number 11 is Detective at 58K with a 4K self-bat differential. Number 18 was Superman, 56K with a 6K differential. Number 19, Grayson at 56K, had a 30% drop in its second issue, but you would expect a pretty big drop in its second issue. But even for second issue drops, that's a fairly big one.
Well, so the interesting thing will be what the drop is between the second and third issue.
Right.
Because that will tell whether people are going to continue the series or not.
Exactly. Number 20 is Batman Superman at 55K with a 14K variant. 24, Batman and Robin at 53K with a 3K variant. And at number 27, Superman Wonder Woman, 50K. Now, if you listen to those titles, what you'll hear is Batman, 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 Batman.
Exactly.
Almost all of them are Batman or Batman-related titles. Now, on the other end, we have Unwritten at 6,500 copies. They are wrapping up just in time. Number 214, Batwing at 8,200 copies. That is the final issue. Number 182, Trinity of Sin Pandora at 10K, final issue. And number 180 is Adventures of Superman, the digital first title, at 10K. They are at the next to last issue. Sorry, there's no Who's on the Cover this week because last week was the double issue. Damn you, double issues!
That's okay.
Yeah. So I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. Or finally, you can call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.